got a question for each of us today. Start with just show of hands. How many feel like they could answer that question? Why do you love Jesus? Got a lot of hands. Okay, so some people don't have hands up, so hopefully you're just not listening to me if that's what's happening. So now, though, you raised your hands, some of you get a chance to put that into action. So we're going to go around and hear a little bit about why do you love Jesus. And Mandy looks like she really wants to share. So Mandy, will you start us off?
I can tell you why I don't like Jake right now. I love Jesus because he completely forgave me for how I was in my old life and has brought me to Maywood, gave me new life.
Yeah. Awesome, Andy. Good stuff. Very good. So, Chad, you're up next, man.
Why do you love Jesus?
I love Jesus because he loves me, you know, because he forgives me.
Awesome. Okay, we're going around. John, you're next.
I love Jesus because he has given me more than one opportunity over and over again, and he loves me endlessly even when I mess things up real bad.
Awesome. Adam, I'll let you go. I saw Molly was not making eye
contact. I love Jesus because not only did he die for me, but he met me where I was when I needed him and kind of took me by the hand, and he's shaping me day by day into what he wants me to be.
Awesome. Thank you, Adam. Gwen?
I love Jesus because when I cried out to him for help, he saved my life.
Awesome. Hand off to Robbie here.
What Adam said, just that he redeems people daily and that he wants a relationship with me because I'm pretty undesirable, but Jesus desires me. I love him for that.
Awesome. So everyone over here feels safe right now, except I'm going to ask Chloe to share. Yep. You could do it. Okay, Glenn will share.
I love Jesus because he died for me.
Very good. Okay, we're coming around to this other side. If you're in the balcony, you might have to come down to us, but I saw a hand over here, so yeah.
I love Jesus because he's done so much for me. He's brought me to this church, and he showed me Patrick and Karen and all these lovely people from the youth chapel, and he's also introduced me to Jake, and he also helped me get baptized.
Awesome. Great stuff.
So, coming around, Terry, would you be up for sharing?
Why do I love Jesus? Let me count the ways. Mainly because God allowed him to be sacrificed for me, and being a father, I know what that means. So the sacrifice that Jesus did for my sins is totally amazing.
Very good. Okay, Brian. And
I love Jesus because he took a dirty dope fiend junkie and gave him a brand new life.
Okay, Gabby.
I love Jesus because every fear, every anxiety, everything that I once had is now no more just because of Jesus.
Awesome. Stephanie, you're trying not to make eye contact, but it's going to happen. Sorry.
Jesus gives me peace in this storm that we live in.
Why do I love Jesus? Because Jesus loves us all. For all the things that we've done in our lives, you know, he forgives us our sins and anything that we've accomplished. Anything with Jesus, you know, we can succeed in life.
Very good. So I'm actually going to go to Diane. I'm going to go to Joe's better half here. So Diane, why do you love Jesus?
Well, because he first loved me, but because he showed his love in so many ways, you can't help not to love him.
Okay, very good. So we could spend the whole morning, and it actually, it might be better than what I have planned for us. We could spend the whole morning doing that, and that would be a great church service, giving praise about why do we love Jesus? What has Jesus done in our lives? If we did that, though, if that's all we ever did as a church was sit in a circle and talk about to each other what God's done for us, we'd miss out on a really core piece of Jesus' teaching, something Jesus commanded all of his followers to do. And today we're going to look at it in its simplest form. It's the shortest command I think you're going to find in the entire Bible. I defy you to find a sentence that's shorter anywhere. So Jesus in Luke 10, he's got a big group of his followers around him, and he gives them this very, very short command. Go! That's what it is, exclamation points there, okay? He tells them, go. I mean, you can't get shorter than that. All of us, if you remember one thing from the sermon today, it's just two letters at an exclamation point. Like, that's all you got to remember. But most people, myself included, that come to church every week, we don't really like to do this very often. We'd much rather sit in a circle of Christians and talk about God than we'd want to go tell new people about what God's done in our life. And so Jesus, right before this, he gathers a group of his followers together. He puts them in pairs. He doesn't send them out alone. He tells them to pray before they go. But then he gives them this really straightforward command. Go. Now, I'm the type of person that I like instructions when I'm having to build something or do something. And Jesus gives some more instructions to his followers. Some of them are very specific to that time and place, where they should go, who they should talk to, what they should take with them. But I'm the type of person when I'm putting something together, when I'm building something, you got this big list of instructions. What I'm more likely to do as I'm actually putting a bed frame or whatever together is look at the package and look at, like, what am I going for? Like, what's the final product? Is this what I have on the floor look anything like the package, you know? And so that's what I try to build off of. Yeah, so it could be laughable at times. So today, Jesus gives a lot of instructions on how to go. And we'll talk about those in the coming weeks. But today I wanted us to jump ahead to verse 16, chapter 10. Because in verse 16, he gives us a picture. He uses words, but he gives us a picture of what will it look like if you go the type of way Jesus is talking about it. If you go out and start spreading the new life that you found in Jesus. So in verse 16, he says, Jesus is talking here. He says, whoever listens to you listens to me. It's a big statement. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. He's talking about God there. So this is a big statement by Jesus. He says, if you go in the way I want you to go, if Mike goes out and starts sharing about Jesus the way that Jesus wants, then the stuff coming out of Mike's mouth, it's going to be like, if you listen to Mike, it's like you're listening to Jesus. Or if you push him away, it's like you're pushing God out of your life. But think about being that type of person, that when you show up at Walmart and talk to somebody, it's like they're getting a chance to talk to Jesus. Or it's like a chance to have Jesus come in and help them with their problems. So these disciples he sent out, they started doing powerful things in people's lives, and they started opening doors for Jesus. Today, we've got the Lord's Supper that we're going to take here in a little bit. We're going to be talking about what does that mean. The heart of what a lot of you were sharing today when you said, why do I love Jesus? A lot of you referred back to this. That Jesus didn't just love us with words, but that Jesus put action and sacrifice into his love. That when he saw that we had messed things up and that somebody had to pay for all that suffering and grief, an evil that we had gushed out, somebody had to take that in, that Jesus took all that junk upon himself and he suffered with it for us. The reason we worship Jesus instead of just respect him is because of this, though. What we're going to celebrate here in about a month is that Jesus was powerful enough to rise from the dead. That we don't worship somebody who's dead. We don't worship an idea of some great person. We worship a living God. Worship somebody that's stronger than the strongest things we ever see. So here's the problem for me as I was writing the sermon this week is I don't feel like I go enough. I mean, I talk about Jesus a lot, but it's mostly to people within these walls. And I was feeling convicted as I was trying to practice the sermon last night. Of yesterday morning, I was in a big rush, and about 7 in the morning, I had to stop at Walmart before I went to where I was going. And I mean, I'm almost jogging in the parking lot of Walmart. I'm doing that, like, fast walk, you know, like, craziness, because I, like, have to get in and get a few things and get out and get where I'm going because I'm going to be late, and I'm talking fast even in my head, and no one's listening. It's like, that's the sort of mood I'm in. And this guy is out there in front of Walmart, and he's on a bicycle. And if you know me very well, I ride a bicycle around a whole bunch. I rode my bicycle to church today. So that's, like, an easy in for me to have a conversation with somebody if they're on a bicycle. And the guy says to me, "Hey, do you have some change?" And in that moment, I had to make a decision. My mind's still racing. And what I said as I quick walked right past him was, "Sorry." And I went right in Walmart, got my stuff, thought about it while I'm picking out oranges and stuff, and thought, like, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Walk outside, the guy's already gone. I open up my car door. I have a Gospel of John in my car door. It had fallen out on the parking lot. Like, Jesus was just kind of, like, putting it in my face, like, "Way to go, bud." Like, I pitched that slow and steady right down the strike zone, and you just watched it go by. So, and then I get to stand up on Sunday and tell everybody to go out and tell people about Jesus. So, yesterday, not my best day. Now, if I'd gone up to that guy and showed him these two pictures and said, "Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and Jesus rose from the dead," the guy would be like, I don't want that kind of change. You know, like, that wasn't what I was looking for, man. I can get money from somebody else. Like, you just go ahead. But what if I talked to him about, well, this actually happened last night, so I couldn't have talked to him about it last night. But what if instead I talked to him about, you know, here recently I was feeling overwhelmed. I was having a really bad day. This was last night for me. And calling a guy in my small group, because we have small groups here on Wednesday, and when things aren't going well, it's a good idea to call him. He actually reached out to me because he was struggling in his recovery. So I'm talking him through that. But then I start talking to him about the bad day that I've been having, and I walk outside my house, and there's this beautiful sunset, and that kind of lifts my spirits a little bit about how awesome God is. And I just ask this other guy who's struggling with addiction, but I ask him, like, "Man, will you pray for me about this sermon tomorrow? Because I don't think it's going to be very good." And so he prayed for me over the phone. And after we got done, he's like, "That's the first time I've ever prayed over the phone." And I felt way better. And so what if that guy on the bike, what if I talked to him about, here's something that just recently happened in my life that God helped me with? What if I kind of opened the door to him meeting Jesus? What if I'd at least done that? Some of you, when you hear that, you're like, "Yeah, but I don't have a story like that from the last 24 hours, or I wouldn't know what to say." Some of you are nervous to talk here in front of a lot of people, and that's okay. But Enrique had a really good strategy that I've actually been stealing. Yeah, come on up, because it's good advice. And I thought, well, I don't need to tell Enrique's story for him. So, Enrique, tell us what you've been doing each day, or most days.
First of all, it's not me doing it. It was God, like, gave me this idea, because Jake bought me this journal. Jake bought me this journal, and in the journal I was supposed to write my prayers, and then that way I could have a record of what I was asking for, and then look back, and it comes around yearly. But I ended up, God put it on my heart that I don't know how to pray to him, you know, because I always got the laundry list, kind of like what Jake was talking about, reach, like, I already got all the intentions down, you know. So, like, God put it on my heart, why don't you ask me for what you should be praying about? And so every morning or night, just depends on how it goes, because I'm practicing it, I'll put in there what God has been doing for me, or what God has been revealing to me, or what God wants me to work on, to pray for, not just for myself and others. It's just different things every day. And by doing that, he also revealed to me one day that I need, by doing that, I will be able to give these many testimonies, I guess you could call it, being able to give somebody some of Jesus, but it doesn't have to be some well-thought-out scheme or whatever, because a friend of mine said it really well. He was talking about his brother, and he said, somebody's asking you for the living water, and you give them the fire hydrant. And I said, yeah, I don't want to be that guy, you know. So the many testimonies is what God revealed that we got to be ready to do, and the only way to be ready is by knowing what he is doing.
So I don't want to miss what Enrique did there because it's a really good idea. He said, I don't want to be a fire hydrant. I don't want to overwhelm somebody the minute they ask for a glass of living water, you know. I don't want to spray, you know, this giant hose of information at them. But he said, so every day I'm writing his little journal. It's got about this much space. It's about enough for about 4 or 5 sentences. And he's writing 4 or 5 sentences about what did God do in my life? What is God working on me about? What am I praying about? But the step that I'd never thought of before that Enrique thought up is then that gets me ready to talk to somebody else. I already, every day, I've done a little practice run, you know. People get good at hitting those slow pitches right down the middle. They get good at that by going to the batting cages, you know, getting used to it. Enrique is basically going to the batting cages every day and saying, I'm getting ready to give a little mini testimony. I'm getting ready to open somebody up a little bit more about Jesus. Because the story that we're reading this whole month in Luke 10, Jesus tells these guys, you're going ahead of me. I'm going to follow up behind you, and I'm going to change these people, but you're going first. You're opening the door for me. Don't feel all the pressure that you have to go out there and save everybody you meet, but see it instead to say, I'm going to this place to open doors up for Jesus. I'm going out there to help people get closer to knowing Jesus. And when Jesus gives me an obvious person to talk to, I'm going to take advantage for it. I'm going to be ready. Maybe you'll be confident enough just the lifestyle you're living, people will even start approaching you about why are you that way? What changed in you? The key to being the type of person, like Jesus talked about in verse 16, of being the type of person that if they listen to Chris Weeks, they're listening to Jesus. If they're listening to Linda Bandy, they're listening to Jesus. The way to be that type of person is to have Jesus inside of you, to have Jesus growing on the inside. Today we've got the Lord's Supper. It's a special time for us as Christians. The reason it's special is the very last night Jesus was on earth before he got betrayed and arrested and then crucified. The last thing he did with his freedom before that was to have a meal with his disciples and then spend a little bit of time with them and pray with them. But during that meal, he told them, I want you guys to do this in remembrance of me. And those guys went out and told other people about Jesus, and they passed that down, that tradition. And that tradition's been passed down from disciple to disciple all the way to us. Like it came straight from Jesus' mouth through other Christians to us. So what's this tradition? Well, Jesus took some bread during that meal, and he broke it. And as he's breaking it apart into pieces and handing it out, he tells everybody around him, his disciples, he says, this is my body. It's going to be broken for you. And he offers it to them to eat. Okay, so Jesus is saying the same way you take food and you get energy from it, you eat food and it gives you strength on the outside. Jesus says, I want you to take my death, my broken body, put it inside of you so you can live my life. And then he took a glass of wine. We're going to use juice today. And he said, this is like my blood that's going to be poured out for you. I want you to take that inside of you so you can live my sort of life. Today, as the deacons are coming forward, we're going to do the Lord's Supper a little differently than we've, I think, ever done it before. But don't let the novelty take your focus off of this. This is what we're focused on this morning, is that Jesus was broken to make a way for us to get to God. And so today, we're actually, you know, we're going to hand out these elements. There's going to be a little cup with like a cracker at the bottom, and then on top of that, a little cup with juice. I want you to take both cups at once, but those aren't going to actually be the ones that you use. I want you to team up with somebody so everyone looks like they're sitting by people. If you're sitting by somebody else in groups of twos or threes, you might have to scoot together. You know, if Audrey and Kyle and other people like that, you know, so you might have to scoot together. But what you're going to do is you're actually going to serve the person next to you. You're going to serve them and say, and I'll give you the lines when the time's right, but you're going to say, like, this is my body broken for you. And when you say that, you're speaking for Jesus. And that feels a little weird. That feels a little like, wait, should I do that? But if you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then Jesus wants you to speak for him. That's the whole mission that he's given us. I want you out there spreading my message. So we get to practice that this morning by saying to that other person, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. And we're speaking that for Jesus, and then you get to receive it from them too. You get to hear out loud what Jesus is actually saying to you. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you paid the cost for us and that you loved us so much and respect us more than we could ever hope for, that you gave us this mission to speak your words, to live your life, to show other people how to come to you. Jesus, I pray right now that we would respect you, that we would honor you. And Jesus, I pray we would live off of you so we could give new life to other people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.